Hello and welcome to the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast. My name is Luke Burridge and this is the show where I review every single science fiction book that I read as I read it. There's no set schedule, it's just whenever I finish the book. I do the review, stick it up here on the podcast feed for everyone to download and listen to. This one is coming out a little bit after I finished it, as you could probably tell. If you recognize, or if you know my normal voice, you can probably recognize that I'm a little bit under the weather at the moment. My nose has been blocked up and I've had a bit of a flu for the past week. And I was away on a work trip before then, so I'd finished this book, this audio book, and was going to be like, yeah, now I'll review it. And I got home and didn't even get out my microphone or anything at all, so I should have, I maybe should have done it before I came home. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I finished this book. It's the second book in a series. The series is called The Southern Reach Trilogy. Now, this book all came out yesterday, all three of these books, all three novels by Jeff Vandermeer came out last year, which I think is how all series should be put out. They should like get the author to write all of the novels and then say, okay, we're going to put these out over the course of a year, not like whenever you get round to it or 1 year apart. I just want all the novels. There was a series that I read last year or 2 years ago, which is called the I should have probably looked this up. It was called The Darwin Elevator by Jason M. Hoff. And he put that one out, and then the follow-up, and then the follow-up, and they all come out like 3 months apart. And you're like, yes, that is what I want. Keep that hype going. Keep me interested. And by the time I finish reading the first book, the second book is out. However, I do enjoy listening to these books. I do enjoy, like, I can get through more books if I listen to them as audiobooks. And the first book, Annihilation, in the Southern Reach trilogy, came out last year. In Germany on Audible, and it was getting to the point where they left it so long I was like, right, I'm just gonna have to pirate it. Like, if you're just never gonna get around to releasing the second book and the third book as an audiobook in Germany, licensing or whatever the deal is you need to do, just do that deal so I can listen to this. And it wasn't. And it got to the point where I was like, right, I'm just gonna I could buy it maybe from iTunes or something. There's probably a way that I could like legally purchase it somehow, or just as a paper book or an ebook or something. But then suddenly it came out on Audible in Germany. But they actually kind of, it was a bonus for me for leaving it so long and not just buying it. Instead of having to pay another credit on Audible for book number two, Authority, and then another one for Acceptance, book number three, they collected them all, the Southern Reach trilogy, into one volume and called it Area X, the Southern Reach trilogy, Annihilation, Authority, Acceptance, all for one Audible credit, which is actually a really good deal, because you do get like a full trilogy. And this is then the day where if a book is a bit too long, they're like, this will cost you two credits instead of one. Here they're like, hey, have a whole collection, have a whole audiobook trilogy, three different audiobooks put into one. So there's actually, it's not a re-recording, it is actually the original recordings of Carolyn McCormick, who narrated the first one, Bronson Pinchot narrating this middle one, and Z Sands the third book, which I have yet to start, because I thought, well, I really want to start it, but I thought I will only start it once I finish the review of the second book, which is one of those tricky things. Like, you know, I want to review the second book as I think about it, having finished it but not started the next book, because I have no idea what happens in the third book, because the first two books were so totally different, or like, so in many ways they're very similar, but it's a totally different kind of setting, a different kind of story, that it's kind of difficult to know what's going to happen in book three. Where are they going to go? I mean, there's these three or four major characters. Are they going to all meet up again in the third book, or are they all dead by now? I don't know. So again, it's this weird thing, how to review a middle book in a series without spoiling what happened in the first book, and also without kind of like going, well, it's not finished yet as a story, it's just a middle book in a trilogy, I don't really know what to say, I don't know how to finish it off. But I'm going to give it a go, because I won't give any spoilers for this book, and only the mildest spoilers for the start of the first book, Annihilation, the first book in the Southern Reach trilogy. Because I don't actually need to spoil much about that, because it starts off, the first book starts off where they're like, okay, we are an expedition, we are going into Area X. What is Area X? Well, it's this area of maybe southern United States, maybe part of Florida. I think in this book it's made more clear that it is part of Florida. Because about 30 years ago, suddenly there was like this environmental disaster, or that's what the government spins it as. Oh, there's been an environmental disaster and everyone has to clear out from here, it's too dangerous, so everyone leaves. And then there's this like invisible barrier that comes up, and it's very difficult to cross over into it, and you have to be hypnotized to cross into it. This is all happening like in the first chapter of the first book of the series, so I'm not giving too much away here. But anyway, these expeditions are sent in from the agency known as the Southern Reach. These expeditions go into Area X, and they try and discover like what's going on there. Why is everything weird? Because it's very weird science fiction or weird fantasy or weird whatever. I'm not entirely sure. And so yeah, it's sort of like what's really going on here? How can we discover what's going on? And like, also, is it safe? Maybe it is safe, maybe it's not very safe. We'll see how it goes. So that's the first book, and we follow these four different characters. None of them are known by name, they only know each other by title. So you've got the linguist, the geographer, the biologist, and the psychologist, and I think there was another one as well. There was a fifth member of the expedition, but they were turned back before they actually went through the kind of gateway, kind of portally kind of thing into Area X. And so they variably disappear or die or never quite really sure what is happening to these people as we go through that first book, and they have to discover what's going on, like what's the weird thing with this tower, and what's with the lighthouse, and what's happening in the sea, and what's happening with all the biology around here. And that's what the first book is, and it is super creepy and super effective writing, and one of the most I wouldn't say a weak story, but the story isn't the reason why it's so appealing. It is very much the tone, like what is going on, the mystery, kind of like the suspense, the horror. There's a lot of really great stuff there in that first book. Now, this second book, I really didn't have any idea, because I was like, well, did everyone die at the end of the first book? I don't know. Has anyone survived at the end of the first book? You know, it's not really entirely clear as you do this, and there's so much mystery about, you know, what's going on with these different anomalies, and you're like, okay, well, hopefully the second book will have another expedition. That was expedition number 12. Maybe in the next book we'll have expedition number 13, and we'll get into it again, and we'll get some answers. However, the first book might as well be called Area X, and the second book should be called Southern Reach, because Southern Reach is the agency, and they are set up on this, I think it's like a military base, maybe 20 kilometers outside of Area X, away from the boundary, and that's where pretty much all of the action happens. I'd say like 90% of the action happens in this book over there at the Southern Reach agency. Now, 30 years ago, when this whole Area X thing happened, and the cover-up started, the investigation started, the Southern Reach was this really, prestigious thing. It's like, yes, you are going to be going down there, and you're going to be doing the investigating, and it's going to be great, and there's lots of power down there, lots of powerful people go down there. But 30 years on, after not a lot of answers have come out of the Southern Reach, or out of Area X, it's kind of a place where careers go to die, and people just hang out, and they have a shrinking budget, and fewer staff, and we pretty much all the action happens there at this, you know, it's again, it's difficult to kind of explain what it's like, but it's like, okay, what would it be like to work at a kind of a government agency, but it's a secret government agency, like maybe under the CIA? It's not quite sure what's central. There is a central thing where intelligence happens. So I'm guessing the central organization is the central, is the CIA agency. CIA agency? Central Intelligence Agency? It's the central CIA agency that deals with intelligence. So that's kind of part of it, but yeah, it's kind of all fading away, and people are really unhappy, and their careers aren't doing well. So that's kind of the setting of the second book, and it really surprised me, because I thought, Area X, it's called Area X, but then again, it is called the Southern Reach Trilogy, and it is about people who are from the Southern Reach, employed by the Southern Reach, controlling the Southern Reach, and so, yeah, it's, there's this, like, but it's also kind of cool to be at the heart of a conspiracy theory, but it's not a conspiracy theory, it is actually a conspiracy. There wasn't just an environmental thing, like disaster that happened. There's something a lot bigger and a lot more mysterious. And what is it? And the story in the second book picks up with a guy called Control. Oh, this is like nickname. That's the name that he likes to be known as, that he was given by, I think, his grandfather as a nickname when he was a kid, because they would like pretend to be radio operatives, and he would be like, come in, Control. He's like, Control here, and that name stuck. Anyway, Control, real name, John Rodriguez, And he comes in and he's been placed there. It's like, hey, you're a good fixer-upper. You're a good fixer. Go in and see what you can do. See what you can work out. Like, there was the director, the old director. Actually, I mean, it's only a mild spoiler to say she is one of the characters in the first book, and she had got herself on to one of the expeditions to go into Area X. And they're like, okay, that's a bit weird, but we no longer have a director there. There's an assistant director called Grace, but you go down there and find out about the director, get to the bottom of all of this, and do your job. So Control, John Rodriguez, who used to be an agent, who used to be more of an intelligence agent and was bad at that, but turns out he's an okay manager, okay fixer. He goes in there and has to get through the like office politics and kind of go up against the assistant director and gain the confidence of the people who work there and of the scientists and kind of go, okay, what's this room? What's going on here? What's this weird stuff go here? And meanwhile, like I say, he goes up against the assistant director. They both have different contacts and different alliances with people inside Central, which is the governing or the more important government agency who have sent John Rodriguez down there. John, actually, his mother is... again, it's not clear what her job is, but she obviously has a lot of authority there, and she calls her job classified. So when he was growing up, it was like, "Mom, what do you do for a living?" "It's classified." "I do classified," and he was like, "Oh, okay, you do classified for a job." And then it was only later he was like, "Oh, classified isn't a thing that you do; it is something that you're not doing or you're not saying about that." And also there's the voice, which is someone who only ever talks to him on the end of the telephone. It's like this mysterious voice who is giving him advice and telling him what to do. And again, someone who's pulling strings for him and back in control. And you get the idea that the assistant director has her own things there. So what we have is really somebody going in and going, okay, what's the story here? Meanwhile, we are actually getting his story. And it's like, well, what's your story? And what's his story? And then he's going, okay, about the biologist in the first book, like, what's her story? And there's lots of things like investigations going on there. And that's pretty much all I can say, because that's pretty much all the book. I mean, there is a lot more to it than that, but it comes again down to the tone of it. And you realize the different characters are there. There is this seeping influence from Area X, and you're like, okay, is it just because people are going into Area X and coming back to the Southern Reach and it's infecting it that way, or is it like something leaking out of Area X in an actual physical way and that's affecting here, or is it just lots of things that are weird things going on inside the Southern Reach, which is just weird enough that you go, is this like in Southern Reach? There was just loads of weird shit going on, weird animals and weird biology and weird time things and weird buildings and all this. And in here, you're like, okay, is just working in an office really, really weird? Is just like government buildings, gray concrete office blocks in a swamp in Florida? Is that just a weird location? And so all the time it's playing with it. It's like, okay, how much is this weird just because it's a weird setting? And how much is this weird because it's not just a weird setting, there's actually weird shit going on? And so yeah, it's a really, again, it's a fun tone to the book. Like, there's some points where I was laughing at stuff because it's just so crazy, some of the stuff that goes on and some of the things and some of the comments that they make and some of the observations that Control makes, which is really great. And some of the experiments that they do as well, or they talk about, hey, there was this experiment where we released 1,000 rabbits into Area X, and they're like, well, that was a stupid thing to do. But, you know, all these different ideas that they have, oh, it could be this, it could be that, and the different characters that are there. Some of it's actually quite funny, and some of the characters are quite touching, these tragic characters as they are. And, you know, as I say, their careers are kind of fading away and things. So, and they're trying to do their best and trying to do interesting work and put things together. And so it's, in some ways it's interesting, like, and funny in that way. Other times it's interesting, just sort of like the bureaucracy, but other times it is super creepy. And again, it's sort of like, okay, is this creepy just because John Rodriguez's Control is a little bit paranoid because he's been a spy all his time and now he's going into a different, like, not like a dangerous assignment, like it's not a dangerous assignment at all, but is it dangerous and things? And yeah, the things that he finds there and what the characters are doing, some really creepy stuff. And so it really is like the weirdness is like a horror, there's like this horror vibe of Area X leaking out into the mundane, you know, business and the urban setting of the towns around the area? Is it being contained, like, physically, or is it leaking out in other ways? That's a big question that's coming up. And also, all the way through, it's like, okay, what did happen to the director? What did happen to the biologist? What did happen to the psychologist from the last expedition? What is going on with the lighthouse in Area X? What is going on here? And I would say, like, of all the different questions that I had, all the things that were going on, like in Annihilation, in part one, in the first novel, I would say about half of those things have been answered, but then about another 50% or 100% on top of that have, like, there's been other weird stuff happen, which has opened up more questions that are going on. And the central question of what is Area X, I still don't know, and I'm actually really happy to be left in this weird, like, suspension of genre, in a way. Like, I don't know if this is a... Because when they turn up, John Rodriguez is going, okay, why don't we just admit that it's aliens? And the people and the scientists are going, oh, well, we don't want to call it, we're going to call it an anomaly. It's like, but it's just aliens, isn't it? But as it goes on, you're like, oh, maybe it isn't aliens. And they're going, oh, well, it's not aliens. Maybe it's some weird, you know, interdimensional thing that's going on. And you're like, okay, but would aliens have to do that? Or maybe it's some weird time travel stuff going on. Or maybe it's just, you know, like fantasy stuff that we're, because it's never really clear if we are in the United States of America in this time doing this kind of thing, because, like, the technology is weird, because you can't take high technology stuff across the border into Area X. So people are just, you know, taking, like, analog photos and having to develop it and writing stuff in books. So there's this weird different levels of technology, which is partly, is that really happening there? Or are we living in a parallel world to our own world? Like, this isn't planet Earth, it's a parallel planet Earth. And is it just fantasy, or is it just, like, is it spiritual stuff? Because then they're saying, oh, before the Area X, the boundary came up, there was this group called Science and Seance who were trying to do stuff with spiritualism and science at the same time. You're like, oh, so is it like fantasy, like I don't know what you'd say, like religious fantasy or religious kind of stuff, spiritual stuff going on here? And I got to the end of the book, and it's, you know, some ideas like that were like, oh, it probably isn't this. But, you know, all the time, there's this big plane of options, all these different options spread around. And I'm just kind of like, as I'm reading the book, I'm wondering, I'm wondering, like, from point to point in my head going, oh, it could be over here. And I'm being drawn over to this point on this map. And then someone, oh, I'm drawn over to here. I'm, like, being, like, brought around different genres while reading a book is pretty fantastic. A pretty fantastic experience. And still to get to the end of a second book in a series and not even know what genre book I'm reading. Like, it would all make sense if it was pure science fiction, but then it would also make sense if it was fantasy, and it would also make sense if it was just psychological trauma, or it makes sense, you know, there's so many different ways that you could do it, that this could work, that this could all be there. So that's a big question that isn't answered. There is a good answer. I was actually wondering in the first book, they say, hey, this is Expedition 11, but there seems to be a lot more backstory with all these other expeditions. How did that fit in just to the previous 11 expeditions? And they actually say it really wasn't actually only 12 expeditions in total, because there was Expedition 1, and then 1B, and then 1C, and then 1D, and then 1E. And then we had a break for a few years to sort all of that out. And then we started Expedition number 2, and that was another 4 or 5 different individual groups of a few people, half a dozen people going in at a time, and all the way up to, you know, Expedition 11, and at the end of there. So it wasn't just 12 expeditions, it was, you know, 100 expeditions, but each expedition had a few things, you know, maybe 70 or 80 expeditions rather than just 12, which answered a good question. What else do I normally talk about here? The characters, I find it very interesting. A lot of these characters interesting. I think Control, John Rodriguez, it's weird that we see everything through his eyes, because I think some of the other characters are actually slightly more interesting than him and the relationships that they have between each other. But it would be, I think, a bit too difficult, or it would be a totally different book if it was somebody who'd been at the Southern Reach for a long time telling this story, because they would know too much. We really do need this. It has to be, like, the first book was an expedition from Southern Reach into Area X, and this book is, like, an expedition from Central into the Southern Reach. And so I'm thinking maybe the next book would be, like, someone from outside going into Central and discovering stuff there, or maybe, you know, I don't know, someone from Area X going into Central. I'm not sure how it would work out, but I think there has to be like an expedition. Like, we are going in here and we are investigating this from the inside. We are coming into the inside of something and investigating it and documenting the weirdness and trying to discover what's happened before us, either inside Area X or inside the Southern Reach. So that's some good stuff there. So his character, I think, is, like I say, probably not the most interesting character, but it's a very interesting viewpoint character. And I quite liked it that he started off as Control. He always called himself Control. He was always referred to as Control at the start of the book. But as it went through, he started referring to himself as John more often. And at the start, the assistant director was always called the assistant director. And at the end, she is always referred to as Grace. And it's still a bit weird, though, that the director, I don't think she ever, maybe she did have a name, I'm not quite sure, but she was always called that. And the other people in the first book who were always called the psychologist, the biologist, their names are never really revealed or never used. They always are just, known by their title. But the same thing as happens with his mother, is always Mother. And the voice, this is always just the voice. And people go by these like one word titles, which are kind of their function, which is an interesting way. But it makes you go, okay, I'm not going to think of this person as John Rodriguez. I'm going to think of I'm going to think about the title that he's giving himself for the role that he plays in the world. And it is an interesting, I mean, he calls himself Control, but is he in control? You know, the book is called Southern Reach Part 2, Authority, but who has the authority? And it's a good play in there. That's what this book is about. In the same way as like it's even revealed that, like, oh, the biologist, actually, that biologist we had in the first book, not actually a very good biologist. And I was like, I was just thinking as I read it, it's like, well, that kind of explains some of the things that she did in the first book if she wasn't actually very good at a job, even though that was her title and the only way that we knew her. The biologist did this, the biologist did that. So that's pretty good. It does make sense. Oh, I was going to say here, let me do the Audible spot. If you think my voice is terrible now, don't worry. When Audible employs the people to read their books for them, they always make sure they don't have a cold. So this book is read by... I actually have the... it's Bronson Pinchot. Very good reader. Like I said, there's actually three different audiobook narrators in the first book: Caroline McCormack, Bronson Pinchot, and in the last book, Zee Sands. Now, it did make a lot of sense. The first book, only female characters. There was the 12th Expedition, made up of purely 100% female characters. So it makes a lot of sense. Here, the main character is a guy, but I think all but two other characters he interacts with on a regular basis are females. But Bronson Pinchot is a fantastic audiobook narrator. And I do, and this is why I say, hey, if you want to help support, this is the Audible ad spot here. If you do want to help support the SFBRP and the funds and the money that this podcast takes from me, and just if you just want to help out in that way monetarily, this is fantastic. What you should do is go to audibletrial.com/SFBRP. And now sometimes if an audiobook isn't great or a book that isn't great that I've not enjoyed, I'm like, well, I will recommend this book instead. But here I can just say, actually, just get this book. And there's this, like I say, there's three books for the price of one. This all of these together: Annihilation, Authority, Acceptance, one Audible credit. And you get a free Audible credit if you sign up, like for the month free trial, you get a free book. So why not just get this? 26 hours and 14 minutes for the whole package there. But if you don't want this book, they've got thousands and thousands and thousands of other science fiction and fantasy and other kind of audiobooks, and about 180,000 audiobooks in total. Just loads and loads of great stuff here. So that's what you should do is go to audibletrial.com/SFBRP, which brings me on to a weird thing that happens when I actually started listening to this audiobook is that... When I listened to the first one, I was like, ah, okay, this is an 8-hour audiobook. Great, 8-hour audiobook. I know how long it is, and it starts and it finishes. But this, the audiobook is normally, they often split audiobooks into different parts. Or you can download a whole audiobook as once, but I often like have it in different parts to make the download quicker and just so I can delete them off my phone a bit more easy. And this audiobook was split into three parts, but it wasn't split into book one, book two, book three. It was split into, you know, how long was it? The 26 hours or something. So it's like 9 hours, 9 hours, and 8.5 hours worth of audiobook in each one. And so so part two, Authority, started still in part one. But then as I was listening to it, I was like, actually, I don't know how far through this book is. And I love this experience when I'm reading a book and don't know how close to the end of the book I am. It's really, I knew that it would be, oh, it's going to be about between 8 to 10 hours. I don't know how long the last book is, but it is one of those things where you just go, okay, this is a middle book in a series, but I don't know at what point it's going to end. Is it going to end on a cliffhanger? Like, at the end of every single chapter, I was like, is this going to be the end? Like, how long have we got? Like, I don't know when the chapter ends. I'm not looking at the screen. I don't know how long it is. And I kind of got that now when I get onto the next book, Acceptance, which I will start pretty much straight away. I don't know how long I know exactly how long I've got to go, which is to the end of the part three. But I always do enjoy that kind of like, not only this is a weird book, I don't even really understand what genre it is, this kind of weird fiction kind of stuff going on here. It's great that I don't even know how much more story is to go with this character or with this set of characters in these situations. So that was a good fun thing. I think that's all I've got to say about this book. I'm going to give it, I was thinking like, what could I give it? Like, I gave the first book 4 stars. And this is what happened. This is what happens with series. Sometimes I'll read a first book and I'm like, hey, that's a really good book. And the second book, because it's always like that second book in a trilogy, is it like, would this book stand alone? No, it will not. Do not read this book if you've not read the first book or listened to the first audiobook. It won't make any sense at all. There's loads of stuff going on here which is very, very dependent on the first book. Even though it's different characters in this book, in a different situation, you really need to have read that first book. Meanwhile, like I say, does it stand up by itself? Yeah. Has it got a satisfying ending? Well, yeah, I guess, but that's the weird thing about middle books. It always feels a bit down. It always feels a bit slower in the middle of these middle books in the trilogy. And that's what you kind of get into here. The weird thing is though, I really need to know how good of a book a middle book in a series is. You kind of got to watch the last one as well. We just did this, didn't we, Juliana, with Back to the Future. We watched Back to the Future Part 2. And I was like, oh, that was better than I remember it being. That's the one that people always say isn't so good.
I love that one. That's my particularly favourite.
The middle one?
Yes.
Because they go to the future.
And they have hoverboards.
Of course. But then at the very end, it's sort of like, hey, the guy comes out and from Western Union gives him the letter. And then it's suddenly like, this will continue in Back to the Future Part 3. And they just show a trailer. Like, it ends, the second movie ends with a trailer for the third movie. It's like going around and shooting things, and there's trains and Indians and cowboys and stuff.
And it also ends with the beginning, oh no, with the end of the first movie.
Well, okay, yeah, so it's a bit looping around, but I'm literally saying, not from a story point of view, from a filmmaking point of view, it literally ends with a trailer going, coming up, next time, here it is. It's like, you know, one of those serials, look out for this in theatres. And it came out really close together. And they can do that because they made those both of those movies at the same time. Those second two movies at the same time, didn't they?
Yeah, I
guess. Okay, we only got one microphone now. You should go back to this. But what I'm saying is it's really difficult to judge a second movie on its own merits without part of it. So just as a second installment, I would give this 4 stars. I gave the first one 4 stars, this 4 stars. But it's a weird thing because I kind of have to hold this all in my head. As a series, is this going to be a 4-star series, or is it going to be a 3-star or 2-star series, or is it going to be a 5-star series? Two other trilogies that was just read recently, like I mentioned before, with the Darwin's The Dire Earth Cycle by Jason M. Hoff. 3 books, all put out in the same year, a few months apart. And the first book I enjoyed, the second book I enjoyed, but I was like, Is the sum of the parts better than each individual book? And it was. Actually, all 3 books put together told a better story than each individual part. But then there's the Prince of Nothing series by R. Scott Bakker. Starts off, great book. Second book, even better. Third book, so bad, I mentioned in the review, I just wish I hadn't have even bothered reading it. And so, actually, it concludes in a way which brings the whole trilogy down. I don't know which way this is going to go with the Southern Reach trilogy. Is it going to tie everything together and be just an amazing experience all the way through? Or is it going to be a letdown? Is it going to over-explain everything too much? Is it going to say, give me all the answers? Maybe I don't want all the answers. Maybe I want answers that the people are asking, like the characters are asking. I want answers to that. Do I want answers? Like, do I want Southern Reach and Area X to finish its story, or do I want the characters that we've been following along with so far, do I want their story to end and without all the answers being revealed? So find out next time in the next episode of the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast, where I discuss Authority, or maybe in 2 episodes' time, it depends. I've got other something else that I want to review. Still haven't got around to doing The Dying Earth, so maybe I'll review The Dying Earth once my nose has caught up, and I'll probably just read. I'll only just listen to that audiobook again with The Dying Earth, because I enjoyed it a lot. So maybe I'll just listen to some of my favourite stories of that too. Juliana, at the moment, while I'm speaking, is reading Otherland, City of Golden Shadow. You're about halfway through.
Yes, that's right.
Are you enjoying it?
Very much.
When Juliana gets to the end of that, we will review that at some point, maybe next week. I'm away on another work trip tomorrow, so it'll have to be next week. Okay, that's it. You can follow me on Goodreads. This is what I normally do. I go to Goodreads. I have it open here actually because I wanted to get some character names. Remember the character names, and people often mention them in reviews. So this has got a 3.62. The bone-chilling, hair-raising second installment of the Southern Reach trilogy. Authority, Southern Reach number 2. Got a 3.62 from everyone pretty much similar for friends' reviews as well. Jenny from Reading Envy rated it 4 stars. Mikhail Kodony rated it 3 stars. Tudor, 5 stars. Molosovsky, 4 stars. Tom Trasansky, 2 stars. Still decent, but a big step down for Annihilation. Yeah, I can understand why some people would do that, but what's he say? Starts promising, the end recovers well, though certain events frustratingly lacked much detail. But that's the whole point. That's what's weird about it. Like, things are happening here. Like, the character didn't tell me everything that just happened in that scene. I still want to know. I want to know what was behind him in the corridor. But the middle drags. Yeah, the middle does drag a little bit in this book. But, yeah. So Jeff rated it 4 stars, Odo 3 stars, lots of other people rated it 4 or 5, 3 and 4 or 5 stars. Only 1-2 stars of all of my friends, all the science fiction book review podcast listeners who are my friend and have rated it. So so become my friend on Goodreads. You can also check out the group, the SFBRP listener group on goodreads.com. That's the best way to chat with other listeners of this podcast about books that you would like to see me review. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Luke Burridge there. And you can email me. I do reply to every single email that I get, especially if you ask me a question. I will answer it. That's luke@juggler.net. That's it for me. Thanks a lot for listening this time. And I'll catch you next time.